Oh, man. I tell you what, maybe today is your day. Maybe you didn't come prepared to be baptized and this is going to be part of your experience. What an amazing, amazing experience. Hey, we're excited you're here. Welcome. We're kind of ending this six-week thing we've been on called an all-church journey, where this is kind of the official ending. It's called the Live Free Journey, at least the weekend portion of it. Some of our groups are going to be continuing to meet over the next couple weeks, but man, we are excited you're here. My name's Kurt. If we have not had a chance to meet, it's great to meet you. If you're here for the first time, as we always say, man, we certainly hope it's the first of many times here with us at Cross Point. And let's make some noise for those tuning in online this weekend with us. Man, it's so good to have you with us. We hear us, and we're glad you're joining us. Now, let me pray for us before we do anything else right now. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this moment. We thank you for all the things that you bring into our life that are good, and you're a good, good Father, and you have good, good plans for us, and God, we have been experiencing you in increased ways. Perhaps if we're here for the first time today, we're going to maybe see evidence and hear evidence of some of that, and so I just pray that you would continue to champion our freedom. You would continue to help us get a taste and see and experience what it means to be more and more free because of your power in our lives. And we just pray these things according to your character, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, this weekend, I want to kind of encapsulate all of our learning that we've had over the last 6 weeks on the Live Free Journey. And if you're here for the first time, again, there's going to be something in here where you're going to be able to get a sense of some of the things that this community has been on and the things you have the opportunity to be a part of. And we're all going to have the opportunity to experience something, to kind of have a very tangible mark the moment, kind of put a punctuation mark on this experience and our experience even here today, later in our service. And some of us, perhaps, you're going to take the step of water baptism. Maybe you didn't come preparing to do that, but maybe that's what God's going to stir you to. Now, to start, I want to talk a bit about what it looks like to go forward. This journey that we've been on, this whole idea of becoming more and more free, this idea of regardless of what my circumstances are, I have more and more joy, more and more peace, even in spite of my circumstances. This idea of experiencing God's breath, just kind of putting wind in our sails, where we just feel his spirit and his power in our lives. I'm telling you, this is a journey that never ends. In fact, we're going to look at some things this weekend that come from a letter in the New Testament portion of the Bible to this group of people called the Galatians, this group of people in Galatia. And the Apostle Paul writes to them, and Paul was a guy who originally wasn't into the whole Jesus movement. He was a highly religious person, but not into the way of Jesus. And then one day he did an about face, and he had a change of heart. And he began to follow Jesus, and then he spends the rest of his life helping other people do the same. And so this whole story of these people in Galatia, they're kind of deluded. They're kind of misguided. They've taken steps of freedom to come into relationship with Jesus, but there's things that have become attached to their lives, things that are holding them back, causing them to not feel a sense of freedom, and they have to reclaim, if you will, this sense of freedom. So here's one of the things Paul says in Galatians 1. He says, I am not trying to please people. I want to please God. He says, do you think I'm trying to please people? If I were doing that, I would not be able to be a servant of Christ. And so what he's saying is, hey, we're here with primarily one audience. Our audience is God. And if I'm trying to please men and women, if I'm trying to, you know, make everybody happy around me, I've got way too many masters. I've got way too many people that it gets confusing. Everybody's trying to tell me what I should be, and I find myself in bondage. This is what Paul's talking about. He's saying, if you want to be free, you gotta say, okay, what does my Heavenly Father want from me? What does my Heavenly Father say of me? And when you do this, you can quit playing politics. You can, you know, quit, you know, playing all kinds of polls and saying, okay, if I do this, this group of people are going to be happy with me. And if I do this, this group of people over here are going to be happy with me. And so the Apostle Paul, when he's writing to this group known as the Galatians, I mean, this whole letter is full of this stuff. In fact, he's one of these people who are new, who have kind of found this newfound relationship with Jesus as their Messiah, as their Savior. They're beginning to realize that we're tethered, that they're tethered to Jesus, kind of like we've been talking over the last number of weeks, that there's a tethering that happens. In fact, one of the things we've been discovering through this journey is that all of us are tethered to something. I mean, we all have some enslavement to something in our lives. It could be an enslavement to what other people think about us. And, you know, if they think good things and we feel good about ourselves, and if they think negative things and we feel like we're in the dumps, it could be, you know, being enslaved or tethered to, you know, performing. And when I perform well, then God's happy with me. And if I don't perform well, then God must be angry at me and he's not happy with me. I mean, all of us, we're all tethered. We're all enslaved to certain bondages, to certain strongholds in our lives. And the question we've been going after is, are you tethered to something that's going to champion your freedom? Are you tethered to something that's actually going to help you live more the way God designed you to live. And in fact, Jesus, he invites us to tether to him. And this is what many of us have been doing over the course of these last 6 weeks. And in fact, he says one time even, he says, hey, when you tether, when you attach yourself to me, he says, my way, my yoke, if you will, the way that it means to follow and to walk with me, he says, man, if you learn from me, you're going to find it's an easy road. It's a light road. And you're actually, believe it or not, you're going to find rest. You're going to find refreshment for your souls. Now, how many of us, anybody do the prayer experience this past week? Anybody have an experience where they jumped in the prayer experience? Yeah, a few of you, all right, awesome. I tell you what, if you didn't do the prayer experience, it's an online experience, and you might be thinking, oh gosh, I gotta do one more thing with a whole bunch of spiritual gymnastics. It's not that at all. It's on our website, it's on the Live Free page. You can go, and it's literally an hour or whatever time you wanna spend, just spending time, primarily in quietness, hearing from God, allowing your soul to be refreshed from God. Because see, when we begin to see that we're tethered to Jesus, and then there's a tension that we have in our relationship with him, it actually enables us to soar. In fact, just think about this. Jesus is the only person. Jesus is the only person that you can ever tether yourself to, you can ever tie yourself to, that not only wants you to be free, but will actually ongoing equip you and enable you to live more and more free. And so just like there's a bunch of us that have kind of been discovering this over the past few weeks, that when we tether to Jesus, there's a freedom. There's also a bunch of people who come and say, oh, you can't do that. You're not going to be able to sustain that. And that's what's happening to this group of people in Galatia that the Apostle Paul is talking about. He's talking to them. He's saying, hey, they got people in their lives going, you can't do this. I mean, I know you took a step and you think you're heading toward freedom, but you know, listen, that's not going to work. You gotta do all these spiritual gymnastics. You got to do all these rhythms, all these disciplines and all these things that actually help you get free. And the Apostle Paul says, no. He says, it's actually for freedom that Christ set us free. Meaning, it's not for our morality. It's not, you know, trying to always do the right thing that he sets us free. It's not for, you know, our religion. Okay, let me make sure I do all the religious acts and I do all the right steps and kneels, all the things. He says, no, it's not about that. It's not, I didn't set you free, you know, so you could live the American way. He says, no, I set you free. It's for freedom. That's what Christ has set us free for. And then he goes on, he says, stand firm then. He says, stand firm and do not let yourselves, and look at this word right here, be burdened by a different kind of yoke. Not a yoke that's easy, not a yoke that's light, that brings refreshment. But he says, don't let yourself be burdened by a yoke of slavery where you're enslaved to things that drag you down. He says, stand up, stand firm. He says, this is an ongoing journey. You're every day, you're going to continue to try to experience more and more freedom. It's never going to end. And when you do this, there's going to be increased layers of blessings, new layers of freedoms you're going to experience. So what's happening to this group of people that the Apostle Paul is talking about and talking with and writing with is they've gotten deluded. They've gotten kind of misguided. They were told, hey, this isn't going to work this way. You got to take all these regulations that everybody always does to feel religious. You got to do all those things in your life. And Paul's saying, no. I want you to stand firm. Don't let those things encroach on your freedom. You know, last weekend, I had the chance to just sit down here in the front row. I wasn't teaching on the platform. In fact, wouldn't Julie be amazing? She spoke last weekend, one of our teaching team members. I'll share a little more on that later. But, you know, she said something that was really fascinating. I don't know exactly how she said it, but she said something like, you know, even those with like a spiritual gravity, even people, you know, like pastors that have perhaps maybe you think, well, I don't know how to get free because I don't have the faith like you, Kurt. She said, you know, even pastors have times where we question, you know, okay, is Jesus really going to be who he says he is? And I'm going to be honest with you, I struggle with that myself sometimes. I even struggle sometimes myself with what God's doing in my life. And as she was talking last week, and I was sitting right down here in the front row, we call it the bullpen, and I just had this thought that for some reason crossed my mind where I thought, oh my gosh, what if God takes his hand off me? What if God abandons me? What if he doesn't work through my life anymore? And it was just like a fleeting thought. I don't know why I had that thought. But then all of a sudden I get a text on my phone, and it was from somebody that hadn't texted me or talked to me in like months, almost a year in fact. And it was a weird text. I mean, they would have known I was sitting in service at the time, and you know, based on it being a Sunday morning, and the text said something like, you know, hey Kurt, just checking in, you know, how are you? Like, is everything okay? And I don't know if you've ever got a text like this where you get it and you're like, oh my gosh, I mean, I thought I was okay, but now that you ask it that way, I don't know if I'm okay. I don't know if they, like, do they know something? Like, what do they see? Do they see that I'm not okay? Like, I thought I was okay, but all of a sudden I'm not feeling like my life is okay. Anybody ever had a moment like that where you just immediately go down that path? I mean, I immediately went down that path, and all of a sudden, the rest of my day is a downward spiral. I mean, I left here and went home and I couldn't get this off my mind. And I mean, all day, it was like I couldn't get out of this negative frame of mind. And it was not even until later that evening when I went on a walk with my wife after dark and we were talking about it. She's like, Kurt, you got to flip the narrative. You can't allow that narrative. Got with a few friends that week that did the same. And you know, I came to realize, and I knew this, that thought wasn't truth. I mean, if I would have, you know, from a theological perspective, I would have passed the test, but no, that's a false thought. I mean, I know that in my mind. I know that's not true, but the feeling I had, there was a subliminal fear that I had right there when I thought, oh my gosh, what if God just abandoned me? And see, I have to intercept those thoughts and I have to capture them, I have to redirect them, I have to change the narrative. And when I do this, I actually grow in my freedom journey. I go forward. See, I have to choose things according to freedom. First thing I want you to see, we've got three things. First thing in going forward is we have to choose according to freedom. What does it mean to make choices according to freedom? Well, you know, perhaps you're someone who's dating someone. Maybe you're dating and you need to ask yourself, okay, is the person I'm dating, are they somebody who champions my freedom? I mean, you know, I might be with them and you say, man, I have some little spurts where they make me feel really good and I love that and I love being with them. But in a bigger picture, is this somebody who champions your freedom? You know, we have to ask ourselves, you know, the places I go on vacation, am I choosing vacation spots? And am I choosing time off where it actually enables me to be free? I mean, some of us, you know, we go on vacation, we go all the time. We're always moving, always with people, always on the go, always touring. And we get home from our vacation and what happens? You need like another vacation, right? You're like, woo, I'm home. Now I need to take a week off from my vacation because it doesn't really breathe life into you. And so we have to choose, okay, am I making choices that lead to freedom? Some of us right now, I mean, you're in a job that just is not life-giving to you. And you know, maybe it's life-giving to somebody else, but it's just not to you. In fact, I've had a number of conversations on this front recently where, you know, people are just like, I just don't feel like I'm in a vocation where I am, you know, there's life being breathed into me. And, you know, for me personally, for the most part, my career over the years, I feel like I've had a lot of freedom in my career, and partly that's because I'm able to structure the organization that actually enables and fosters freedom, not only for myself, but for people who work with us. And not all of us can do that, I understand that, but I have a degree of latitude that I can actually, you know, create systems that do that. It's one of the reasons why over the years that you will see different speakers up on the stage, why I'm constantly committed to helping other people be voices, communicators, just like Julie B last weekend. She's been on our team for, you know, a number of years. And every now and then when somebody else is speaking, you know, I'll hear something like, well, Curtis, it's not the same when you're not up there. You know what I say to that? I'm like, man, that's good. That's actually a really good thing that it's not the same. You know why? Because listen, you need to hear other voices. You need other influences that actually speak truth into our lives. That's a good, good thing. And then secondly, one of the things I've realized over the years is, you know, for me to expect myself to have like quality and interesting things to say for 30 minutes ongoing every single weekend, that is bondage for me. That puts me in bondage. It kind of ties me to my performance stronghold. And so I have to continue to figure out, okay, how do I do that? How do I continue to champion other communicators? And even in this season, I mean, I've found new bondages and things that I feel less and less free from that I've got to continue to adapt because I have to continue to say, okay, what does it look like to choose freedom? And you know, there's not always a right or wrong answer with this stuff. I mean, sometimes you're like, okay, what's the right thing to do? Some things there are. I mean, like God gave his top 10 a number of, you know, centuries ago, you know, like don't steal, like I did when I was under the cart of my kids, you know, in the bottom of the cart when I was little and my mom was going through the checkout lane and I was at the A&P grocery. Anybody remember A&P grocery? And I just like swiped a pack of gum, you know? And I'm like, oh, I'll just take this. Nobody knew until we got home and I had to take it back and apologize and pay. Like, that's not cool. That's, you know, that's a definite right and wrong. I mean, anytime you're violating someone else, anytime, you know, there's a sense of like, I'm taking from someone else or I'm doing something to ruin trust or violate trust, that's what God calls sin. Sin's not some list of do this and don't do that. Sin is anything that violates or breaks relationship, whether it's with others or God. But see, on many fronts, we get to make choices and there's not a clear right or wrong. In fact, here's how one guy puts it. He says, you and I are free. We're not in bondage to figure out the one thing that God wants us to do. Every decision before us is not a pass or fail test. If we go through life and we think there's a definitive right and wrong in every decision, we will go through life with fear and trepidation. We probably won't get very far. However, if we view good options as possibilities that we are free to choose, life becomes more adventuresome and less burdensome. You know who said that? This is Brian Tone, one of my heroes. He's actually the guy that's the impetus for this whole Live Free journey that he created with his church, Crossroads in Cincinnati, a number of years ago, and we've been able to benefit from it and repurpose it, and he's all about championing freedom. So I want you to see that you and I, we can actually choose as we go forward according to things that make us free. And when we do that, I think God goes, well done, way to go. Galatians 5:7, more things that Paul says. He says, man, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you? Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? You know, whenever I read this, I think about my son who was on the track team at HSC High School last year as a senior year. And he was in one race where it was actually the best race he ran all year. And it came down to the last lap of a mile race. And it was him and this other kid near the front. And this kid had kind of said to him, we learned this later, that he had some peripheral sight issues. And so he said, when I go into corners, I put my arm out so I know where you are. So if you're next to me, I can feel you. Well, they come into the last lap, first corner, and my son and him are side by side. And this kid has his arm out and he's like shoving Matt out of the way. Now, my son is a very, very passive kid. Now, when he's on the athletic field, he's very aggressive, but he's very passive. So for him to get a burr under his butt, like it takes a lot, all right? And so this kid's like shoving him out of the way and Matt just jacks him as they're running. I'm like, yes. I'm like, don't cut in on him. Don't cut in on him. And they kind of went back and forth and Matt like threw his hands at him. Like, what are you doing? He's like, who are you to cut in on me? It was a great moment. He's like, what? When I read the Apostle Paul here, I think this is what he's saying. He's like, who cut in on you? You're doing so good. You're walking toward freedom. Somebody cut in on you. And all of a sudden, like, you know, who told you? You know, you're doing all these things that you know, you feel like I got to do this and I got to do that. And so you got these Jews who had received Jesus. And then you got other Jews who are like, no, that's not good enough. You got to do all these religious regulations, all these things you got to do. For instance, you know, if you're 40 years old and you've not been circumcised, snip, snip. All right, you're going under the knife. You need to have all these regulations. Think about that. I mean, you thought baptism was a little uncomfortable, perhaps. Think about going under circumcision at 40, right? Whoa. Yeah, they're putting all these regulations. You know, you like shrimp, you like bacon, tough beans, man. No more shrimp wrap bacon for you. You got to apply all these things. We're very seasonal in the Old Testament and follow all these regulations. And Paul's like, who cut in on you? You were doing so well. You're operating in freedom. Who in the world put these stupid ideas in your head? You got to choose according to freedom. Second thing, as we go forward, is you have to stay away from people that ungrace you. Stay away from people that ungrace you. You may not have heard that term, but it's pretty self-explanatory. Now, I'm not talking about people that have problems in their life or people that are dealing with messy things. No, we need to be available to those kinds of people. Perhaps you're mentoring people like that, people that are teachable, that really want to grow. But there are some people, for whatever reason, they're not growing, and they will ungrace you. As you get more and more free, they're going to try to pull you back into your old ways. As you experience more and more freedom, they're going to be threatened that you're actually going to new places. And they're going to go, oh man, I don't know if that's good. I've never seen that before. You got to be very, very careful to kind of remove people that ungrace you from your life. In fact, you know, there are also people that grace us. In fact, there's some people that have graced us in this journey. In fact, we don't do this very often, but I want to kind of celebrate them for a moment. You know, we have a number of people who graced us in this Live Free journey in making sure, carried a lion's share of the work from getting journals in your hands. You know, you guys enjoy these journals. My word, I tell you what, these are amazing. Small group experiences, I mean, all the video production that's happened for weekend services, you know, the prayer experience, production, communication, keep things in front of you. And so I just want to, these people really fought for your freedom. So let's, this is Amy Duffin, my assistant. She is like the glue around this place, my word. Bailey McBride, our video production, responsible for many of the things you see on screens. Of course, Brad Brickley, you see, planning services, all the things that happen in production. And then we have Tom Plank, who's our catalyst for our small groups. He's been coaching our coaches. Yeah, let's thank Tom. For those of you that have been in groups, and then the coaches for our groups. Oh, let me forget my brother. Let's go back to that. I forgot my brother. Mark Walters doing communication, branding, all the design that you guys experience. It's really cool. And then all of our coaches that coach our small group hosts. Eric Butchenkirk, Brian Allison, Teresa. Let's thank them for the role they played. And then, of course, all of our small group hosts, more than we can put on a screen. Let's thank them. You guys helped champion freedom. You were very, very graceful. These are the people. These are the people who fought for your freedom. These are people who are championing your freedom and helping you get more and more free. Third thing, final thing, at least in the teaching portion. We have to beware of freedom that looks like freedom, but it really isn't. It's called false freedom. In fact, there's a word called licentiousness. And licentiousness is this idea of giving license or approval to anything, whatever goes. And the Apostle Paul, again, he says, my brothers and sisters, you're called to be free. All right, you're called to be free. You're not called to be moral. You're not called to be American. You're not called to be Democrat. You're not called to be Republican. You're not called to be, you know, do-gooders. You're not called to be, you know, PC. You're called to be free. He says, do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh or the sinful desires. Rather, look at what he says right here. He says, rather serve one another humbly in love. What he's saying here is your freedom, it should always champion other people's freedom. When your freedom gets in the way of somebody else's freedom, then we got to step back and go, okay, maybe that's a false freedom right there. Now, we haven't really talked a lot about this during the Live Free journey because we've really tried to overweight on the how do we live more free kind of side of the equation. But, you know, there's times when we think about the truth of God, there's a tension between two dynamics at play right here. Seemingly two polar opposites, if you will. And in the middle of this tension is where truth resides. Think of it like a guitar string. If you've ever strung a guitar or strung a piano or tuned a piano, it's like there has to be an appropriate tension on both ends of that string. I mean, if you don't have an appropriate tension, man, you play that string, it is a dud. There is nothing good that comes out of that thing. But when there is an appropriate tension, I'm telling you, there is a beauty, there's a depth, there's a life-giving kind of feeling that begins to come. And see, this is the tension. God wants us to be free, but he also understands how we're designed to operate. There's absolute ways that we are to operate, and there's ways that we're not. Meaning, you know, sometimes we think something looks free, and it's a false freedom. All right, and kind of the way to think about that is if you're like, well, if it feels good and it looks good, then I think I'll do it. Sometimes that leads to a false freedom. For instance, you might come across something, go, man, I know I should do this. This is really the thing I should do. It's a hard thing. It's going to really require a lot of me. Oh, man, I just don't know that I want to step up to that. God wants me to be free. I'm not going to do that. And so you step away from it. Or you say, you know, gosh, a couple years into marriage, it's a lot harder than I thought it was. It looked pretty easy, but man, it is hard. And you know what? God wants me to be free, so I'm just going to get a divorce. Or you see the Giving Tree gifts, and you see the mailboxes out there, and you're like, you know, I'm a bit tight financially, and, you know, I know I'm way better off than many people that we're trying to serve, you know, in our greater community, but gosh, you know, what feels good to me is just keeping everything for myself so I can make sure I'm taking care of me. I don't really want to be about the needs of other people. See, that's a false freedom right there. Paul says, no. To be free means to have all of God, which means there's certain things on the front end that sometimes, man, they're uncomfortable and they're difficult and they may actually even be hard, but they actually lead to freedom. In fact, we're going to do something right now that it may be a bit uncomfortable. We're going to have some movement in the room right here. In fact, we're going to mark the moment. And we've got some people moving in the room right now to their spaces. And we're going to have a moment, whether you've been on this journey over the past number of weeks, or you're here for the first time, or perhaps this is just a moment for you to be reminded that when we tether ourselves to Jesus, that when we tether to something that champions our freedom, and we have that appropriate tension, man, there is a life that begins to come. So we're going to give you an opportunity to kind of physically kind of signify in a very tangible way this freedom that we're pursuing. So in a moment, I'm going to invite you. Brad's going to play and give us a little music. And we're going to invite you to move in a moment to the edges of the room. And you're going to have a chance to receive a piece of kite string. Just like these images that we've seen, you know, during this journey of this kite, that, man, when that kite loses its tension, it flails. There's an appropriate tension it needs, and you and I are the same way. And when we're tethered to Jesus, I'm telling you, it's when we begin to soar. And so we're going to give you a chance to receive a piece of kite string that you can put around your wrist, and you know, you can tie it on there, and you can, you know, kind of remind yourself over the next few days, weeks even, that, hey, I'm not going to believe the false lies. I'm going to remind myself I'm tethered to Jesus. And when I'm tethered to Jesus, there's a freedom that comes out. The crazy thing is you can't put this on yourself. I was trying to do this yesterday. I was trying to tie it on. My God, stupid thing, not tying. I couldn't get the ends to come back. And you can't do it. It's nearly impossible, which reminds us you're going to need somebody else to help you put it on, which is kind of like the journey to freedom. You need other people championing your freedom. So let's go ahead and stand. And there's going to be movement in the room. And if you aren't comfortable moving, we don't want you to do anything you don't want to do. But I want to invite you to mark this moment in this journey as we kind of come to a close. Again, whether you've been tracking every week or you're here for the first time, if you want a tangible reminder that there's a Savior that champions your freedom, that combats the lies that you and I take on, and you want a reminder on your wrist when you're sitting at work, you're sitting at school, you're sitting there going, oh man, I believe these things about myself. I know they're not true. And you can go, you know what? No, Jesus, He reminds me. He reminds me He's for my freedom. Then I want you to walk over as Brad sings and just receive one of these strings, and you're going to have somebody with you help put it on. In fact, let me pray for us. God, as we mark this moment, I just pray that Your Spirit would move. I pray that even in this moment, as we move and walk, and maybe it's a little uncomfortable to do something like that in this space, that we actually experience a freedom, an increased freedom from You. Thank You. Amen. And if you're online, man, you can go find a string in your house or mark your connection card, and we'll mail one to you in the mail this week. So let's just take a moment. Let's receive, and let's remind ourselves we're tethered to Christ. You can move to the sides.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone. I've been set free. God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace, unending love, amazing.
There's something beautiful about beginning to realize when we tether to Christ, when He champions our freedom. And Abby's going to join me. We're going to talk a little bit about the journey and baptism here in a moment. You know, when we stepped into this journey, I thought, man, I'm excited. I'm going to participate in the small group and, you know, do this guide and all this stuff because I'm all about, you know, freedom. And I just thought it's going to be fun. I'm going to help others. And I realized this thing kicks my butt every single week. I get in here and I realize I am not free. There's a lot of things that God is continuing to work in my life, and this is an ongoing process. Abby, what does that look like for you? I mean, how have you began to or continue to realize that freedom for you?
Yeah. I think throughout this journey, one of the things that's happened for me is it's brought some clarity to an area in my life where I kind of knew before that I wasn't experiencing freedom in, but I wasn't sure why. I was struggling to identify that. And so there's been so much throughout the series that's really helped to clarify what is at the root of that. And, you know, when the cover song that we sang earlier today really has been an anthem for me in this series of realizing some of these barriers that I keep coming up against are self-imposed. They seem like they're out of my control, but they're actually things that that's a part of my pattern of thought that can be rewired. And so I really am going to think about this series every time I hear that song. And you know, part of it too that's been cool is you know, a lot of that's come from the guide, but for me, one of the pivotal moments was sitting in a small group with a bunch of seventh grade girls at CSM and listening to one of them share about their own kind of identifying strongholds and the thought process that came with that. And I'm the 30-year-old in the room sitting there and listening and realizing, man, that's giving words to my own experience. And God was really using it. So it's been a cool journey.
How cool is that? Let's like celebrate our seventh graders that are experiencing freedom. My word, it's so fun. I got a seventh grader that's in that group, and I love hearing that. You know, in a moment, we're going to have baptisms, and, you know, you've been a part of baptisms. You're going to share in the baptism moment with us here of helping anyone that wants to take that step. What have you seen that moment do for people? I mean, it's a very defined break. I mean, how have you seen that work in the lives of people?
Yeah, so many ways. You know, when I think about my own experience of baptism, I was pretty young at the time. I was second grade, and it was meaningful. I knew what I was doing at the time, but being a part of that moment with other people since then has increased so much the significance of what it means to step into that moment and to realize that it's not just about that person that is taking the step to be baptized, sharing that with the community, but it really is about what we all experience together, about this moment and this reminder that we don't experience freedom, we don't experience new life without stepping out of our comfort zones. And yeah, it's just this beautiful opportunity.
Baptism's always in front of people. I mean, it's not, even if it's a group of two or three or 100 or in front of hundreds on, you know, online, I mean, there's a sense of this, there's something empowering that happens when that's celebrated. Yeah. Well, we're going to do that here in just a moment. And Abby, thank you for sharing. She's going to be a part of the experience, and I'll explain a bit of that here in a moment. So we'll see you down at the waters in a moment. You know, baptism really is an outward symbol. And one of the things the Apostle Paul says, he says, we were buried, therefore, with him, meaning Jesus, through baptism into death. Meaning, when we walk into these baptism waters, anybody that's walked into these waters, there's a sense that we're connecting with Jesus' death and his resurrection. All right, it's a celebration. That's why it's so important. We do it in front of people because, man, I tell you what, anybody that steps in the waters tonight, I tell you what, people are going to erupt as soon as we come out of the waters because it's an affirmation that we don't get anywhere else in life. But Paul goes on and says, also, in order that just like Christ was raised from the dead, we might also walk into a newness of life. And so some of us have been walking into a newness of life. During this journey, we've been experiencing new things and unattaching ourselves or untethering ourselves from old beliefs or old ways. Whether you were a follower of Jesus or not, there's still old ways that we were perhaps following, or perhaps you came into a new relationship with Jesus over the last number of weeks, so that became very real. We talked a few weeks ago about the process of change. Some of us were in the blahs, and you know, it's just like, oh, life's not horrible, it's not great, and we decide, I've got to make a break. I got to get out of this. God has something more for me, and you made a break on something. And the moment you make that break, it was a definitive moment. There's a definitive moment that happens, and you begin to go in a new direction, but guess what happens? Before long, you don't have muscle fibers for that new trajectory, and you begin to wish that, oh my gosh, this is hard. It's easier if I just went back to the way things were, and we get pulled back because we want to get to the blessings. We want to get to the benefits right away. And see, baptism does something. It reminds us, no, there was a defined moment where I decided, man, I'm tethering to Jesus. He's championed my freedom. There's a power that comes. And even though I may have remnants of my old ways, there's a power that overcomes that and reframes my identity. You know, there's something very possible, very, very powerful that begins to happen when we, on our own volition, take the step, say, you know, I want to be water baptized. I want to show my desire to follow Jesus by signifying through the cleansing symbolism of water that I'm connected to his death and his resurrection. And that same power that raised Jesus from the grave, that power is at work in me. That power is actually bringing my identity and clarifying that. And I just want to declare to everybody, hey, that old stuff in my life, all that garbage, the water kind of symbolizes it's been washed away. Again, there may be remnants and memories and things that we get pulled back into, but listen, that doesn't define me anymore. Every now and then somebody will say, well, do I have to really be baptized if I want to really walk my faith? You don't have to, no. But this is why oftentimes it's a struggle. Because that's choosing to follow Jesus is a very personal, private decision. And when we take this up at baptism, it's a very public decision that gets celebrated, and we remember that moment. It's a stake in the ground, mark the moment, definitive, hey, I'm moving forward, and I have something physically, tangibly to remember it. So every person that walks through the waters this weekend, or walks, gets into the water, or does remote baptism at home this upcoming week, I'm telling you, there's a declaration that happens there that I'm tethered to freedom, that I'm following a good king. And so, you know, for those of you who are joining us online today, I want to talk to you for just a moment because, you're sitting somewhere that's not in this space, but we want you to know that baptism is available for you. In fact, we have something called remote baptism, which you can let us know if you feel like, hey, I'm ready to take this step. Perhaps you're not in the community or you're outside this area or you're just at home and you'd like for us to come your way. We will do whatever it takes to come to your space. We just need a little bit of water. It could be a pool, a hot tub, a bathtub. Could be some water we can pour, something that just signifies this moment. And you can let us know on your connection card if this is something that you're ready to take a step in. And we will get with you this week, and we will make sure we have a chance to celebrate your baptism. You can invite whoever you want to be a part of that experience. And I know if you're sitting on the other side of the screen, it'd be easy to go, oh man, I don't know. I mean, this seems kind of crazy. I'm going to tell you something. Follow your heart right now, not your head. If your heart's going, you know what, this really is a definitive step for me in my next step, and as I continue to be tethered to Jesus, man, mark that card, let us know. We will get in touch with you this week. In fact, I want to pray for you right now. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for those that are tuning in through the airwaves, through a screen, whether they're at home or a coffee shop or a busy office or wherever they may be tuning in from right now. God, I pray that you would intersect and bring just a dose of encouragement. And if this step of baptism is the next step, God, I just pray that you give them the courage to mark that and to say, okay, I'm ready to take this step as a defining moment. And let's get ready to celebrate what you've been doing on this freedom journey. It's crazy. We don't have to be in the same place. How cool is that? Through technology, we can actually experience you in unique ways. And I just pray, God, that your power and your courage would just pour into anyone right now who's saying, okay, this is my next step. And that they'd be willing to say, okay, I'm going to mark that on my card. I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to declare that I'm in and that my identity is in you. And God, we just thank you for resetting our identity in this way and reviving us. We just pray these things. Thank you according to your character, Jesus.